Well, good afternoon to everybody. This is Glenn Coble. The show is A Progressive Life, and it's the day before Thanksgiving, and we're going to have a good discussion today. I'm going to pull up Dr. Ronald Feynman's spot. Can you hear me now, Dr. Feynman?
Yes, I can. And I got to start off by saying I was stunned. I just got online, and here within 10 seconds, my name, Dr. Feynman, from Scott. And I said, what?
My ears were burning and scratching, so we mentioned you, I guess.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that I did say regarding the marriage issue, which I don't think you mentioned because I walked away for a few minutes, it's easier to stay single as one can be Peter Pan forever, never have responsibility for others.
Yes, well, that's true. If you're... Yeah. If you don't have any responsibility, it would be easier, yeah. I that is the hardest part, I think, of being married, is being responsible to my spouse.
Yes, and to your children, too.
Yes, of course.
Not too many people are not good parents. It's really bad, you know, and it affects the kids badly if you're not a good parent.
Well, I was a good parent only because I had a good wife. My wife, every time I'd do something really stupid, and I did a lot of things really stupid, my wife would say, who's the adult in the room? Okay, I know, I messed up. And also, I think I've mentioned this before on the air, I used to spank my children, and it was out of anger when I'd spank them. My wife said, okay, from now on, if you're going to spank them, you've got to tell them to go to their room and wait for 5 minutes, and then you'll go up and talk to them and spank them then. And you know what that did? It calmed me down. It cooled me off. When I went up, I think most of the time I just gave them one swat, and it was easy, you know. And it worked out better. Now, my youngest thinks I beat him to death, but I didn't. He's just a complainer. He might be listening. I'm sorry, Andrew, if you're listening. Well, we've got some things to talk about, Dr. Feynman.
Yes, me too. Can I start off, though, with something that I realized today? This is the period of days of the Kennedys. You realize that? Today is the funeral of President Kennedy in 1963.
Right. Yep, 22, wasn't it? November 22nd?
No, well, 22nd was the assassination,
yeah,
but the funeral was today, November 25th.
Yeah.
And 3 years later, 3 years earlier, not later, on November 25th, JFK Jr. was born. He would be 60 years old today if he hadn't been killed in that accident. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. I see him as a young man still.
He would be 60. And also Robert Kennedy's birthday, he would have been 95 now. He was born on November 20th. He shares that with President-elect Joe Biden, the same birth date, but different years, of course.
Yeah. That, you know, do you remember? I don't remember, and I've seen it online a lot of times this week. Do you remember where you were when Kennedy was shot? I don't.
I was in a chemistry lab.
Oh, were you?
At Queens College in New York City, and there was a lot of discontent, not me, but a lot of us on campus about dress regulations at Queens College in 1963. Women could not wear pants.
Yeah.
And men could not wear jeans. This sounds crazy, of course.
Yeah,
today.
It does sound crazy.
There were demonstrations about it, and then suddenly we didn't know what was going on, but somebody was yelling outside in the hallway, "The president's been shot," and we all thought the president of the college had been shot.
Huh?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And it took until we went to the student union after the class to realize, oh my God, it's President Kennedy. And I remember joking at the time and saying, I have nothing against the president of the college, but I prefer he be shot than Kennedy.
Well, I remember I was watching television with my family. I was 17 or something like that. And I was watching television with my family and,
you were home in the middle of the day?
Yeah, for some reason or other, I was.
Oh, because I was in college class, and
famous announcer?
Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite came on, you know, and takes his glasses off because he's about ready to cry.
Yeah.
And
I remember that. I've seen it, too, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know whether I was at home or whether I was someplace else. I think I must have been in the living room of the parsonage, my dad's parsonage, yeah. So anyway, I do remember where I was when his assassin in quotation marks, was shot.
I saw it live on television on Sunday, November 24th. That's amazing. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke or something for a minute.
Now, you understand that I lived in a parsonage with a Methodist minister. It's the only time we had ever heard the F-bomb dropped in that house. And it was my brother who was watching TV and saw that happen, and he screamed that, and we ran in and saw what was going on.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, did you record it?
I don't think we ever spoke of it.
Might be too embarrassed.
Yeah, we kept that quiet.
Yeah.
We didn't know that my brother John knew that word. So.
it's such a sad time. It was like 9/11, those two events, and also the Challenger disaster, 1986.
Oh, that was horrible.
Those three stand out as the most shocking events that I can think of in my lifetime.
Because you watched them live, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah, that was.
It was absolutely very, very difficult. But imagine, November 20th, RFK would have been 95. And in fact, I'm wearing an RFK shirt right now as I talk to you.
Is that right?
Yeah, I have an RFK shirt, yes. With one of his sayings on it. And then
with one of his sayings, yeah.
Yeah, with him, but also one of his famous sayings. Yeah. He was brilliant. And then I realized Joe Biden was born 17 years after RFK, the same day, November 20th. He's 78, and RFK would have been 95. And again, JFK Jr. would have been 60 today if he had not been killed in that plane crash.
Okay.
And I got to tell you one more thing, if you don't mind.
No.
I've always had the belief that he was about to announce for the Senate in New York to replace Pat Moynihan, and would have been in a primary against Hillary Clinton, the First Lady, and I think he would have beaten her. She would have had no career after being First Lady. He would have been Senator Kennedy, and he would have run in 08. Maybe Obama wouldn't have run, and we would have stopped Obama.
Oh, that would be interesting.
It's an interesting novel, the thought, that he would have been running 8 years later for president, because he would have been 48. Why not? I just have that feeling that Hillary, and of course some people have a conspiracy theory that the Clintons arranged his death. I've read about that. Can you believe that?
No, I cannot.
That's ridiculous. But there are people, because certainly that was a possible challenge, and I don't think I don't think she could have beaten him. I don't think so.
Well, the name was huge. It would have been tough for her to beat him. Her name wasn't nearly as big as his name at that point.
No, and when you think about it, if she had not been in the Senate, she never would have run for president.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she lost, but then she got to be Secretary of State. She would have been better off staying in the Senate. It would have been less controversial than being Secretary of State and having all the email issues and other things. Yeah. She probably would have had a better shot in 16 if she'd been Senator Clinton for 16 years. So it's interesting how every step in your life changes, whether it's you or a famous person, and it really changes the course of history.
I really think that email thing is much to do about nothing.
But yes.
Anyway, hey, now I have a question since you're bringing up age of presidents.
Yeah.
Now, Joe's going to be 78?
He is. As of November 20th, he was.
And so at the end of his first term, he will be 82.
82 and 2 months at the end of the term, yes.
Do you think he'll run again?
He's not going to say it now, but I would think unlikely. And that's not a big deal because nobody ever said a president has to have 8 years.
Right.
But he wouldn't say anything about it, so I would think mid-2023, the third year in the middle. I think he will announce that he has decided not to run again. He will not resign and hopefully will not die in office. But Harris would have the front-runner status.
Right.
But it would be an open primary where she would have an edge, but no guarantees.
My guess is that he's going to watch how well she does and how well she's accepted. And if she comes across accepted well and does a magnificent job, which I'm expecting she will.
Oh, she will.
Then I think that he might go early. If not,
then he'll resign.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, only Nixon has ever resigned. Only Woodrow Wilson thought of resigning if he had lost the 1916 election. He would have resigned early to let Charles Evans Hughes, who would have been the winner, become president, which he had written about, but he never had to do it. I don't know if that would be a good trend, though, to do that, as long as he's in good health. But
I didn't mean I thought he'd resign. I think he will just let her take off. He will endorse her as he leaves.
But in the third year? That's no. To say to everybody else, stay out. I don't know if they would listen to him.
I don't know. I'm just saying he will run the full 4-year term and then step aside and not run for a second.
But he would have to announce he's not going to run a year to go so people know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he can't wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying if he has one term that's successful, he's like James K. Polk in the 1840s, who chose not to run. And interestingly, with Polk, he decided not to run, and it turns out he died 3.5 months after leaving office, the shortest retirement. Wow. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, that is ironic. Now, I think that also may have something to do with Biden. I think if he's feeling great, he might say, okay, I'll go 4 more years.
Yeah.
If he's not feeling great, maybe he'll step aside. I don't know.
Not quit, just step aside, yes.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
All this trivia.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to have to worry about Mr. Trump scaring him out of running, out of the inauguration. So
I don't think he's going to show up.
Deal. No, I wonder if he will show up.
Well, his wife already, I gather, is not planning to invite Dr. Joe Biden, and that just adds to her bad image. I don't understand how anybody could admire her. She is a disgrace in my mind.
You and I have talked off the air about on Facebook about our feelings about her, and
yes.
I think we both agree that she may not be the best first lady ever to have set foot in the
I think she's the worst.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say that.
A few others that are controversial, but nothing like her, you know. I don't think so. But, of course, there are some people who talk about how beautiful she is, and I say, on the surface, but beauty is inside your character more than your looks, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not a big... I don't think of her as a beautiful woman. I think of her as an unusual looking woman. A good unusual looking woman, but I don't think of her as a beautiful woman. But that's neither here nor there. I don't have to worry about it because my wife is beautiful.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy. 50 years. When was it 50 years?
A year ago this month, or this coming month. We were married.
It's 51 years in December.
It'll be 51 years on December 21st, the longest night of the year, by the way. And
yes.
It was planned.
And the longest marriage so far. Of anybody you know, I bet. Nobody you know has been married 51 years, I bet, huh?
Yeah, I didn't really plan that, by the way.
But I'm just saying, do you know anybody married as long as you guys are?
I don't right now. No, I'm sure there are a lot
of... It's a blessing. I congratulate both of you
on. Well, thank you. But my wife and I got married on December 21st because that was when I could get leave from the Army.
Oh, I see.
And my dad was our minister, so I was able to get home to Valparaiso, Indiana, on the 21st. I had a 4-day leave or something like that, and we were able to get married and have a real quick honeymoon and then headed back to Washington, D.C.
Wow, and your wife went with you, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But she had never been to D.C. at that before that.
You know, she hadn't. She had been to Baltimore because she flew into Baltimore to visit me a couple of times while we were dating. But she had never been to Washington, and I took her and showed her the sights. I showed her everything. Well, let's not go there.
What's funny is I make jokes in class sometimes about Baltimore. I talk about the War of 1812, and I'll say the government fled Washington because the White House was burned in the Capitol and fled to Baltimore. And I said, if you got to flee to Baltimore, you're in bad shape, and everybody laughs. Something bad about Baltimore. I was just kidding around about it. You know?
He went to Baltimore? Is that? I thought you told me last week he went up on some hill and watched what was going on as they burned the White House.
Who are you talking about now?
The president.
He may have seen it being burned, but the point is they had to flee the government, and they fled to Maryland.
Okay.
You know.
So the government went to Maryland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I loved that area, and...
Baltimore's fine. There's nothing wrong. And actually, the president's criticized Baltimore.
Yeah,
he criticizes every city just imaginable, and all of the cities voted against him.
Didn't he say it was an S-hole of a town or something like that?
Well, he says that about foreign governments.
Yeah, that's true. He says that about everything.
He wanted to stop all the votes in Detroit, heavily minority. It's true. You know, that apparently only white people's votes should count. They should just throw out the Michigan votes. Just unbelievable. He has no shame, you know?
Now, I know you're not a doctor of legal stuff, But
I'm going to have to a constitutional history.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you this question, even though you're not a lawyer.
I wish I had been. I thought of being it, but I decided not to. Yeah.
How many of these, whatever you want to call them, lawsuits which have no merit, how many of those can he keep filing those forever? And by the way, who the heck is paying for all that?
Stupid people that are giving funds. He's asking for public help. You know, people are sending funds to their boy, the guy they love. They're sick in the head, these people. They really are. Ordinary citizens who, and in fact, I know someone, you know, the person who does the cleaning of this house twice a month, she voted for Biden, but her husband voted for Trump. And just this week she said, he still says Trump's going to win these lawsuits, he's going to be inaugurated. And I says, really? And she says she doesn't believe it, but she says she doesn't want to fight with him, she wants to keep her marriage, yep. But he has a bet with her for $1,000, that he'll give her $1,000 if Biden's inaugurated. And I said, well, you're going to get that extra $1,000. But I'm thinking, how moronic can your husband be, you know?
Well, and I don't understand. One of these days, we're going to figure out how so many people were hoodwinked.
Well, it's a cult. It's a religious cult kind of thing, like Jim Jones and Guyana in 1978.
Yeah.
And I've seen video of people crying and saying they'll do anything for him.
Yeah.
And I mean, come on, he's a political leader.
He's a human being.
And he's so imperfect, extremely, and lies all the time.
Yeah.
What is wrong with your head, I would think, when I see these things, you know?
What is he up to? 220,000 lies? Or no, 2,200 lies in... No, it's 20,200 lies in his presidency. That's what the Washington Post says.
I think it's 22,000 now, I think it's up to, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Or 20,000 something, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could say everybody lies. Yeah,
yeah.
We all, in some way, may not tell the truth all the time. And even presidents sometimes do lie.
Yeah.
And believe me, I know people who would make an issue of one lie or incorrect thing that his president says and overlook everything else.
Yeah.
It's just so selective, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And we all tell little white lies, little fibs and stuff like that. But most of the stuff he's talking about, within 24 hours, he's already said the opposite. So I don't know.
Yes.
All right. What do you think of the new selection of the board, or no, what, the cabinet?
I think they're fantastic. First of all, they all have experience. They have background. They have compassion. You can hear what they said yesterday.
Yes.
You know, what the Secretary of State nominee, Blinken, said about his stepfather and being saved and by an African-American soldier in a tank and all that. It made me cry yesterday when I saw that. I'm
too.
A very emotional person anyway. And all of them, I mean, there's real diversity here and people with real background and experience. And, of course, John Kerry being the climate czar, an issue we must deal with.
Great answer, or great choice that was, yeah.
Yes, Secretary of State, and, of course, ran against Bush. And, by the way, interestingly, he's the only candidate for president from 1992 to 2020 Democrat who did not win the popular vote.
Huh.
Every time, 92, 96, 00, of course, when he won more, not he, but Gore won more than Bush, 08, 12, 16, and 20, even though Trump won and Bush won. The fact is, every time the Democrats have won the popular vote, only in 04 they did lose it. But even that's contested because there were claims that Ohio had its vote flipped. And if the vote had been flipped, it had not been flipped, if he had won Ohio, even though he was losing the popular vote, Kerry would have beaten Bush. But there was contesting about that, but it didn't get very far, that Ohio was manipulated. It's actually Ohio, of all places. So 7 of the last 8 elections, the popular vote has gone, and massively in the last couple of times, to the Democrats. Only 04 did not.
Is Trump the only president to have lost the popular vote twice?
Yes.
Is he really? Wow.
And by much more, like Bush lost by 500,000, okay, you know, to Gore, but he still became president.
Yeah.
Hayes lost the popular vote by about 250,000 in 1876. And then Benjamin Harrison in 1888 lost by about 90,000 votes. And Junkin C. Adams lost by about, I think it was 45,000-50,000 votes. Of course, there were fewer voters then. But now it's more than 6 million after being 2.85 million Hillary over Trump. And now he's losing these cases. So as they said on Morning Joe today, that every time he loses, it's like he's losing again. He's losing Michigan three times. He's losing Arizona three times. He keeps on beating himself to death. He can't accept reality.
Yeah, now the joke on the internet here in Ohio is that he's lost three times in Michigan. they ought to name him Ohio State.
That's funny. And what's ironic is he's fighting about margins when he won by 10,000 in Wisconsin and 22,000 in Michigan, and Hillary didn't contest it, even though it was close.
Yeah.
But this man cannot accept a close. Okay, every election, you're not going to have every election that you win or lose by big margins. So Biden didn't win by big margins every year, but he won, just like he won. And then when he won, and he had 300 and, what, 6 to 232, he said it was a massive, massive victory. But he will not say that about Joe Biden with the same result.
Well, I'm going to go back because I thought of you a lot when I was watching Antony Blinken be introduced, because I don't know if my listeners know, but you are of the Jewish persuasion.
Yes, I am.
And he was the stepson of a gentleman who, and you kind of pointed out, his father was saved by an African-American tank driver.
Yes.
Who pulled up, and I think he was, what, one of six out of several hundred people?
But what I heard, he was the only one of 900 children that survived.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what he said. Yes, the only one. And he was a little kid at the time, obviously. And I guess he's still alive. I gather he's still alive. But what a story. So how can you not cry, you know?
Yeah, and Antony Blinken, if you listen to him, he is a lot, and I know a lot of people don't like President Obama, but you've got to admit President Obama is a brilliant man.
And he has compassion and decency and empathy, as does Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
And Antony Blinken sounds exactly like, I mean, he speaks like President Obama as well. I mean, you know, that intelligence level. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that hurts a lot of Democrats when they're running for office. There are a lot of people, and I understand this, that take affront to people who they think are acting like they're smarter.
Well, they are. Actually, that's an interesting thought I've had. If you go back all the way to 76, Carter against Ford. Ford's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Carter was much more brilliant.
Yeah.
Reagan, he's charming and all that, but he did not have the brains of Carter in 80.
No.
And I don't think he had the brains of Mondale in 84. And in 88, I'm not sure I met Michael Dukakis. I'm not sure if he was more brilliant than Father Bush, so that might be more of an even balance. But in 92, I think Clinton was smarter than Bush, the president, and even though I don't like his ethics too much, but I think he is a brilliant guy, and I think he, as much as I admire Bob Dole in general, I think Clinton's smarter, and Gore smarter than George W. Bush in brains, of course.
Yes.
And Kerry's smarter than Bush in brains, of course. And McCain's a good guy, but he's not Obama, and neither is Romney Obama, and neither is Trump Hillary, and neither is Trump, I think, Joe Biden.
Yeah, I, but, you know, that really angers a lot of people.
They're not educated. They don't like if you're educated, yes.
Well, and I'm not sure if that's it, but nobody likes to have their nose rubbed in the fact that they're not as smart or as educated as somebody else. And I think the Democratic Party has got to get away from, you know, there are people that kind of brag about that. And, you know, and we keep talking about educated, college-educated women vote democratically.
Yes.
I think we ought to leave that alone. I think there are a lot of good people that have an eighth-grade education that are just as smart. And I think we've got to find a way to bring those people on board
Well, they have street smarts, is what we call it.
Well, not, I think there are brilliant people.
Yeah.
I mean, people that are Einstein, well, maybe not Einstein brilliant, but really brilliant people that just didn't have the opportunity to go to college or didn't have the opportunity even to finish high school.
Okay, that's for people who are older, like my generation and yours. Someone who's young, that's not an excuse. You can get a college education.
Yeah, you can.
You can't get student aid. I agree for the older. But if you're young in your 20s, 30s, 40s, I think it's more you just don't want to, or you're in a rut, like the people in the coal mine area in Kentucky and West Virginia. They don't seem to want to improve their lives. I don't understand why.
That's because that's all they have seen all their life, and that's what they
expect. It's also giving them black lung disease. Their father and grandfather dies of it. You think they get the message? Get away from that.
Yeah, I don't think... They're happy to have a job. So.
Well, but that should not be the way you look at life, in my opinion. You should want to strive for more. Ambition is what I'm saying. But I understand what you're saying. Of course, there are people who don't have a college degree, and of course, there are people with a college degree who are not very smart, because it doesn't mean everything. You could have had a C average or C minus average, which means they just, you know, did very little work. That's true.
Well,
now, you're right. It's a double-edged sword.
I took 9 years to get through college. Three of them were in the Army, but...
Doesn't matter. You accomplished it. It's not a question of rushing it.
Yeah, but I didn't want to. I hated college.
No, but it was good that you had it, and I think it advanced you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And I did it because of my family expectations more than anything else.
Well, that's also another thing. A lot of families don't put much emphasis on education.
True.
I think less now, but years ago they didn't. I remember when I was in high school, the valedictorian of the class was a young lady, and she was, you know, obviously the top student of the class, and I knew her, and I said, "We're going to college," and she said, "I'm not going to college. My parents say I should just get a secretarial, not that it's better to be a secretarial job and find a husband." And I've always wondered, did she ever go beyond that family expectation about girls? I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Alejandro Mayorkas. He's the new Homeland Security Secretary or
Deputy. He's an immigrant from Cuba, yes.
Yes, I love it.
Yes.
We're naming people that have firsthand knowledge of what's going on, not other stuff. I don't know what the people that are in charge now have as their background, but it's...
And he's Latino, and he's the former director of Citizenship and Immigration Services, and we need... As I just wrote on my blog today, we have to change our attitude about immigration. America is immigration. It always has been. And we have to remain a place that people can come to.
Send
and clear to Joe Biden in that direction to end the horrible, you know, situation under President Trump and Stephen Miller, who is a Nazi in my mind, even though he's Jewish, with his mentality about that.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him either.
My God.
Doesn't it say on the... Statue of Liberty, send me your tired, your poor, your so... I can't quote it, but it's... we should be a nation. We've said we were a nation of immigrants, but we always give the latest immigration group the hardest time.
Yes, as my blog I wrote today, America's returning to its values, open to immigrants, believing in science, and pursuing allied diplomacy.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with these appointments.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it'll be wonderful if we can maintain that. Now, are you concerned that the Republican Senate will not allow that? Now, I understand it may not be a Republican Senate.
Yeah, it depends on the two Georgia seats.
Yeah, but if Republicans win those...
oh, my God.
What do you think? We will be able to get these people...
I think most of them, although Marco Rubio sounds like he's ready to cause trouble. And Marco Rubio, you know, I once said, I don't know if I told you about this, but once I've said the Florida people, the governor and the senators, I don't like any of them. Scott, who used to be the governor, DeSantis, who is refusing to deal with the pandemic that's going on in Florida.
Yeah.
Like Kristi Noem, I wrote about today on Facebook in South Dakota, causing more deaths per capita than any other state because she refuses to have a mask mandate.
Yeah.
And also Rubio. So I joked with people, I said, let's just imagine these three people were on the Titanic in 1912. And only one could be saved. Who would you save? And all along I said Rubio. Now I'm not so sure. I think I said let them all sink.
Surprise! He has disappointed me, to say the least.
He's not terribly bright either, I think, honestly. Yeah. I never was impressed. But Florida is a very red state, and more so than ever, although not South Florida, where I live. But the state is very southern, while the southern part of the state is very northern.
Well, I remember as a young person going down. I was not that young, but I was married. We went down to visit my wife's parents, who lived in just south of Sebring, in Lake Grassy down there.
And yeah, Central Florida, yeah.
Central Florida. Yeah. We went down there to visit him, and I needed a haircut. So I told my wife, I'll go downtown Sebring. I think it was Sebring, or was it? It doesn't make any difference. I was going to go downtown, and I was going to get a haircut. I went downtown, and I found a barber. I went inside and sat down. And you know what happens in a barber. You start talking to the barber, and he's telling you his life story, and you're telling your life story. And then he told me how, as a young man, we know how to take care of those black people.
What year is this around?
Huh?
What year is this around, you'd say?
Probably 71, 72.
You must have been like, your mouth was open.
Huh? It was. He said, we take them out in the swamp and let the gators have them. And obviously that was the last time I ever went there, but I was dumbfounded.
Yes.
I thought Florida, with all the older folks that were moving down there, I thought they were more enlightened.
Well, it has changed since then, because a real massive move to the south by Northerners came after 1970, so you were there just around then. It's changed a lot, but if you look at the history of Florida, there's been horrible racial massacres in northern Florida, in central Florida, and there was a lynching in Fort Lauderdale as late as 1960, but that is a long time ago. You're talking about nearly 50 years ago. It has changed a lot, and you know, but yes, I'm sure in the northern parts of Florida, there's still some of that racism, and there is a horrible history of lynchings and violence against blacks going back 100 years and more, and it's some of it I didn't even know about. I've learned about it. I'm just stunned and shocked by it, that it happened. But it's happened in other states, too.
I may have told you this story, but we were in Dotham, Alabama, not Florida, but down there. My roommate of the road trip, I was with the Army Field Band at the time. My roommate was Bob Thune, and he was an African American. And we went over to get a drink of water before we went on stage. We were the act. We were the featured act, and we were the singers. We went over to get a drink of water, and a man stopped Bob and said, "Can't you read?" And he called him the N-word. And there was this really faded sign under this above the fountain that said "Whites Only." Jeez.
And what did he do? He didn't make an issue of it, I guess.
No, he didn't. Bob
that's
was a good
terrible.
And he didn't make
it. Unfortunately, there's still not as much. There's still people who feel that way. And our president, with his racist attitudes and his policies and nativistic, has really made it worse and made it acceptable. And that's one of the worst things of all.
I mean, it's bad to have it hidden, but it's worse to have it wide open.
But look at Linda Thomas Greenfield, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., who's African-American, who's had a whole career in the diplomatic service, and she's going to be really great. And Janet Yellen, who was head of the Federal Reserve and let go by Trump, is now going to be Treasury Secretary.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Director of National Intelligence is another woman who's worked with Biden before and has been
Avril Haines?
And then there's this young guy, young compared to the others, Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor. Not all these people I knew of before, but I've looked into them and I'm saying, wow, he really knew how to choose much better already than any of the people in the Trump cabinet. I think every one of them should be held liable for some of the horrible things that have occurred, you know?
Well, we're getting an amazing brain trust that's coming in. And, I've watched on the Talking Heads, as you know, I watch Morning Joe and I watch MSNBC, I watch CNN, and I do watch some Fox so that I know what's being said. And I'm even shocked that there are some Talking Heads on Fox that are saying it's kind of interesting to see how intelligent some of the and they don't say it that way on Fox, but this morning Joe, somebody on Morning Joe said, isn't it a breath of fresh air just listening to these people talk?
Yes, the cabinet people, and look at the horrible individuals that have been around Trump. And this includes the Secretary of State, who is a disgrace, and the Vice President, who is an unwilling to speak up, and the Education Secretary, DeVos. Oh, my God. I can't figure out who's the worst. You know, they're all so bad. And Mnuchin.
And we're going downhill because we had better ones when he started, and we just keep dropping. You know, that one quit, that one quit, that one was fired, that one.
Because he wants yes men, and that's not what Biden said. He wants people to tell him what needs to be told, not worry about saying yes, sir. Well, that's the job of these people, to tell the truth as they see it. And he can, of course, decide not to follow it. But I love his whole attitude and his calmness. He comes across as a real statesman, Joe Biden.
Avril Haines said to him, that basically she didn't suffer fools, and she was not. She was going to speak truth to power.
Yes,
he has no problem with that.
No, not at all. And that's what it should be, and that's the way it was under Obama, and as it was under Carter. You know, particularly those under Clinton. I guess there was more difficulty because he had quite a bit of turnover, and he had his own issues. You know, that's why I'm not a big fan of Bill Clinton. I mean, I preferred him to the alternatives, but I really thought he should even be the nominee in 92, that I thought with his background, with his scandal that he was involved in, he shouldn't be. Gary Hart was prevented, and I think he would have been better than Bill Clinton, but he was prevented in 87. But somehow the ethical standard went down with Clinton and then with Trump.
Well, the ethical standard has gone out the window.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Joe Biden is bringing it back, and so is Kamala Harris.
Yes.
And the people around them, and I'm really excited, you know, and I can sleep better now.
Yeah, I can too. Now, you know darn well, though, there will be haters that do not like this duet because Kamala happens to be a little shade different than...
Oh, of course, and of course there'll be those that'll say Joe Biden got places by catering to blacks because he was with Obama, now he has Harris, and also Jim Clyburn in South Carolina endorsed him, and that helped him to move ahead. So it's all these ends, you know, people will say, that got him where he is, and I say, we're Americans, we don't look at people as ends or S, the nasty
or
word for
J's.
Latinos, or anything, I mean, it's ridiculous, but there'll be people like that, but the answer is, who cares,
yeah.
You know?
And it's one of the things I've been trying to convince my listeners since I've come on a couple of years ago, is that you've got to think with your critical brain, not look and see what color they are, what religion they are, anything like that. If a person is a thinking person, they should be in favor of them thinking and talking. They may not agree with them, but they should be allowed to think and talk and bring their best ideas forward. Do you remember one of the early cabinet meetings of Trump's thing? They made us on national television watch as they went around the room, and everybody told Trump what a wonderful person he was. And
that's never happened with any other president ever.
No.
Even Republican presidents, you have never had that. Bush 2 or 1 would never do that.
No,
Reagan would not do that.
Absolutely not.
It's ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, and so I am breathing a sigh of relief now. I have met a friend of yours, Monica.
Monique.
Monique.
Yeah, former student of mine.
Yes, and we now are kind of touching bases. and I asked her how long should I leave my Biden flag up, and I won't tell you what we both agreed to, but I do have my Biden flag up even today. So
I bought a T-shirt, Biden Harris, with a picture of both of them on it. Uh-huh. I haven't worn it yet, but I did purchase a Biden Harris T-shirt.
Well,
yes.
I'm not flying my flag to rub anybody's nose in it. I'm flying my flag because I'm proud that we're moving that direction. We're moving to intelligent government, not stupid.
And I do think that if Kamala Harris was to succeed during the term or be the next president by election, it would be a great step forward. She's very intelligent, very smart, very compassionate, very decent, very qualified,
good
and it
background.
Should not matter what that she's Asian American and African American, or that she's a woman. It should not matter.
No, shouldn't. And she has a terrific background. Her mom, I think, was a single mom, wasn't she?
At one point, yes.
At one point, and apparently a brilliant lady in her own right. Yeah,
both of them were.
Yeah, I like smart people.
Yes.
I don't know why that is. I guess it's because I wish I were one.
Oh, don't say you're not. You are.
Well, thank
I'm
you.
I'm very impressed with you. I've always been since the beginning. You know, I wish I had known you sooner.
You're just proving your own stupidity. No.
No. I'm a good judge of character.
All right. Well, how do you think the transition team is doing? Now, they have been allowed now to move forward, right?
Yeah, so they had a delay. I think they'll be fine. And again, we have a president coming in who has more years in government than any president, as I wrote in my History News Network blog article a week ago. It's got a lot of hits. Yeah. Any president except John Quincy Adams, who had 49 years in government, about half of that in cabinet, you know, being the Secretary of State and ambassador to five countries, the other half being congressman, senator, and president.
Yep.
But 49 years together, and Joe Biden had 44 years, including 36 in the Senate, with chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee. He knows everybody. He, you know, after it's only been 4 years since he's out, and he kept in touch with all of them. And he really, people don't realize how fortunate we are to have a man of this experience and knowledge to be our president. And it's a bit of a miracle, because I guess a lot of people who love Joe, as I did, figured, he'll never be president. And yet it's happened, and I think it's delightful. And my older son and I both wept when he just declared the winner.
Yep.
And, you know, I didn't know. I asked him, and he said, oh, yes, I was crying. And that's the way I felt, because I said, thank God we're bringing back decency.
Yeah.
Somebody who's compassionate and has experience and knowledge and ability.
And, you know, one of the things I try to point out to my friends is there is decency on both sides of the aisle. There are decent people. I take Romney as a Republican. He has a decent... He thinks through things. I may disagree with him on lots of stuff, but he's a thinking man. And
is Rob Portman, the senator from Ohio.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Rob, but
I think he's decent. I'm not saying he's my favorite, but I think he certainly fits into the better mold than many of them.
I agree with that. And our governor is along that line.
Your governor has been attacked by many people, including people you and I know.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this is the job of a governor or a mayor: protect the health and safety, not worry about whether people are inconvenienced or whether they have to deny themselves certain pleasures for a period of time. And that's why I'm proud of Governor DeWine and Governor Larry Hogan, which I wrote about, of Maryland, and also Gretchen Whitmer, who was horribly mistreated and threatened, and also Governor Cuomo and Governor Newsom and others. And the mayors, and yes, they're going to be unpopular, but is it better to be Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota or Governor Ron DeSantis, who are not doing their job and should be removed from office because they're just worrying about economics, not about the need of people to survive this pandemic, you know?
I absolutely agree with you, but you know what? The clock is running down. We're down to about a minute and a half. So I got to shoo you out of here. But you got any last things? Now we won't. We're going to have Thanksgiving tomorrow, so I won't be on tomorrow. But we will be back on Wednesday.
But we'll be back next week, correct?
Yeah, we'll be back next
week.
I'm
looking forward to it. Yes, and we can talk on Facebook, of course.
Yeah, of course we will.
And have a great Thanksgiving.
Well, you too, and to everybody down there, and my new friend Monique, is it?
Monique, yes.
I hope she's listening today. I told her she could.
I'm assuming she did. You know, she can even, it'll be on the website soon.
Okay.
Anyway, it gets listed by Adam, and I thank him for that. And so if she hasn't, she can always listen to it after the fact. Yes.
I hope so. She and I agree on a lot of stuff.
Oh, yes. And she had me 25 years ago, you know, long ago when I was young.
Uh-huh.
And we've been close friends ever since, yes.
Excellent. Well, you have a great Thanksgiving, and I wish you and all of yours the best.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great time. See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye, Dr. Feynman. Dr. Feynman, you are listening to a Progressive Life, and as you know, I'm Glenn Coble, and I'll be back here next week. We're going to have Jeff Ruth on Thursday next week. Jeff and I have a lot of things that we can talk about. A lot of things that have to do with radio and have to do with sports casting. So we'll have a little bit different day on Thursday of next week. Tomorrow, just enjoy yourself. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Be careful. Make sure that turkey gets up to 165 degrees. And take care of yourself.
We love you, and we're thankful you're here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary